You're listening to The Kylo Show, the podcast where we talk about how to keep your love on no matter what and why whole healthy families are going to save the world. And it starts right now.
Hello and welcome to The Kylo Show. I'm Brittany Serple.
And I'm Danny Silk.
And we have with us today...
Ben Serple. I'm joining you guys again.
Which is my husband.
Yes.
In case you
Brittany Serple,
forgot.
Ben Serple. Put it together and,
And you get
two
purple.
People in love.
No, just kidding.
Serple purple.
Well, if you are watching, our set looks a little bit different because Ben and I have a podcast called Imperfect Parenting. And we were listening to the Kylo Show's feedback form that we sent out, and your cry for parenting was loud.
Okay.
Oh, so loud. So we thought that we would invite the Kylo Show into where we do parenting the most, which is Imperfect Parenting. So we're having fun changing it up, but it's still the Kylo Show today. Yeah. We just look a little different.
We're driving attention to imperfect parenting as it should be.
Yeah. So we're having fun, and that's why Ben is joining us today, just to chat through some parenting stuff. And it should be fun.
It's good to be here. I mean, this is what we talk about often. Actually, all we talk about imperfect parenting. So I think I love what you guys are doing on the Kylo Show and getting to blend these two things together. It just makes sense to me. So here we go.
It's all good. Well, we do something fun over at Imperfect Parenting that we don't necessarily do on the Kylo Show.
We don't do any fun at the Kylo Show.
I don't think that's true. But we...
Quick little history, I think, just for fun.
Okay.
This might just be for me, but Seth and Brittany started this podcast a long time ago. Yep. Those who are
original.
Avid fans would know that it was first called Coffee, Kids, and Crazy, and then it changed to Imperfect Parenting. But they've been doing this new thing Brittany's about to introduce for how long?
I think I have four seasons of
practice.
The parenting podcast. Yeah. And I had Derek Johnson with me the first season, and then I recruited Seth Dahl for the last three. So we're about to get ready to film the next season, which is season five, which is just kind of crazy. But so we do memes, and it's just to make parents laugh in the reality of parenting is so full of.
So full. I get it.
So full. So, Ben, do you want to lead off our meme?
I do. This is my least favorite meme we have so far. So I'd be honored. So I'm going to describe it to you real quick so you can get a picture with us. If you're not watching, you can just imagine this in your mind. I believe it's a model. It looks like a Barbie doll.
I think it's Fashion Week. What's going on. Really horrible.
So it's a man and Fashion Week wearing the weirdest pants you've ever seen. But the little meme starts out saying, parents, and they ask the child, did you poop? Which is a common question when you have little kids in diapers.
Absolutely.
The toddler looks at the parents and usually says,
no.
No. But the picture you're seeing is clearly something's wrong because this man's pants are bubbled out the bottom. There's something going on, which is kind of a common thing. You look at the child and you think, I don't think you're telling the truth. There's something going on in those pants.
They're full diaper.
So
it's basically
these pants are obviously full of something.
Yes, there's something going on there.
All the way to the ankles.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which I think is, again, just the life of toddlers is very much that. So that is our topic today on The Kylo Show, is kind of talking around toddlers. We have a lot of – I get a lot of messages on Instagram, and I get a lot of – there's even teaching parenting. Toddlers is, I refer to it as the trenches. It is hard season. It's hard.
Those are hard yards.
They're, and I think what I'm running into, and I'd love to kind of just get your wisdom and thoughts around, is, you know, the season of toddlers, and most families have, you know, one kid, and then they have another kid 2 years later, and then another kid, and then another kid, and so then you have literally an army of toddlers, and I run into a lot of parents that feel pretty overwhelmed at the level of need going on with toddlers. And in that, it kind of translates to, I don't know how to have any vision because I just don't know how to survive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How can we encourage parents, especially with toddlers, how crucial vision is for those toddler years?
Well, usually the vision is the other side of these toddler years, you know.
Today.
Yeah, this is, I don't know that this is a real inspirational time for vision. You know, so hopefully you have vision going in, and then you would protect it and perpetuate it going through. And then on the other side, you may make some adjustments or whatever. But, you know, when you're like Jim Gaffigan says, you know, what's it like to have five children? He says, you know, imagine that you're drowning and someone hands you a child. You're like, yeah, that could very much be the experience of egocentrism in diapers. You know, it's just these children cannot think about anybody but themselves. That's because you watch a toddler smack another kid with a toy. That toy, that child cries and scares the child that popped the other one. And this child cries. The offender is crying because that child scared him. You know, you're like, okay, that's egocentrism at its finest. The toddler bites another child. That child cries and that scares the one that bit him. So you're like, okay, that's a lot of me. And what it does, I think, primarily is it triggers all the me in the parent.
Yes.
Yeah. All that unresolved me in the parent is being cooked out of them by the fire of toddlerhood, you know? And it's all bubbling to the surface. It's like the dross on gold, where you're just skimming the impurities off the parent, and the refiner's fire of toddlerism. And don't worry, if you didn't get it all, the teenagers will really bubble you up.
They come back around.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll get into that later. I like how you put that, though, the me, because that's what it feels like happens in toddler land, is if you're trying to be selfish as an adult with a toddler, it's like you're going to war with them every day.
Yeah.
And you are defeated.
Yeah, it's power struggle central. Uh-huh. You know, it's all about a battle of the wills, and I'm going to shape you. No, I'm going to shape you. No, I'm going to shape you. Guess you're all getting shaped. Everybody's getting in shape right now. Yeah. This is a not a sprint. This is a marathon, and we'll be living together for a while, and we're different. So you'll see me show up in your world, and it will require adjustments that you did not plan on making. But you will. Yep. You'll make adjustments just so that these two lives can occupy the same air.
Yeah. And that almost, it feels like you're answering Brittany's first question about vision without even trying to. I mean, maybe you're trying to. Have you done this for a while?
Yeah, it's just that Gandalf thing, you know.
Gandalf the Grey. Danny the Grey. That was on the air, Danny the Gray. But I think just even how you're describing the sacrificial love that parents are invited into or warring against if they're still working through the me thing, I think that feels like the vision. Like, oh, my job is to lay my life down for you and love you in such a way that it does lead you to a different way of doing it as you grow older. But that feels like the vision. Like, okay, when I get up today, it's not about me as a parent. It's not my way. It's not my needs most important. It's practicing love over and over again when it's most uncomfortable.
Yeah, there's a zillion lessons in getting married, getting pregnant, having this child, being drugged through infancy and sleepless nights and spit out on the beach of toddlerism. You know, it just goes on and on and on and on. And it really is, I think, God's attempt to separate us from the love of this world. You know, the love of this world tries to hold up a mirror of unachievable perfection. And every time you look in that mirror, you feel bad. because you're just not living up to it. You know, like it starts in marriage and it's supposed to be some kind of movie. And, you know, and it's not. And you're like, oh, my gosh, this is a horror movie. What's happening? This person is not who I thought it was. This person is, you know, trying to make me change. And how dare them? And, you know, all that. And then pregnancy and stretch marks and, you know, the birthing process and all that goes on and the infant and the child and the how we act when we're that tired together and mm-hmm. all the stuff. You look in the mirror and none of that's happening in the mirror.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, I'm failing. I'm a failure. Look at me. I'm different. I don't measure up to anything out there. And now the mirror is like HD, 1180, you know, 1280, whatever that is, 1480, I can't remember what it is, no, 1680. You know, the, you know, it just is perfection. It's yeah. like screaming back at you with social media and all that stuff. And you're like, you know, this is really intended to help you learn how to lay your life down.
Yeah.
And you'll be doing this for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And I think people get scared of that. They get scared of that mirror now. Mm. They're like, oh my gosh, I don't want to get married.
Mm.
I don't want to have children. I watch all my friends just look in the mirror and feel so bad. I don't want to do that. I'm like, yeah, well, that's how you get tricked into not learning how to lay your life down.
So good.
Even though it's literally, Adam and Eve come together and they're supposed to go and subdue the earth. They're supposed to go and
occupy,
take space. And that is very much what it feels like scares everybody away is this, this stripping of my self or this perfection that I'm seeking after.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a crazy season. Toddlers is a crazy season, but you know, we were at dinner with somebody last night and they have, 2 toddlers and, mom had to leave to change a diaper that looked like our meme that we presented earlier. And then their other one was crawling underneath the table and smacking Ben's leg and my leg and punching Ben, playing. And the dad looks at us and says, do you miss this?
Mm.
And I laughed. I said, I don't miss this moment right now mm-hmm. in a restaurant where he was just screaming a moment before. I said, but I do miss,
mm-hmm.
I think if you can have enough vision for the getting through these moments, you get to enjoy most of the moments with yeah. these kids,
mm-hmm.
which I'm so grateful that God created a wonder in children that doesn't make any rhyme or reason to us as adults. And I think that's what I always say I miss about the toddler years is the absolute fascination and wonder
yeah.
that they can have over a ladybug
mm-hmm.
or
rice.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Did you know rice is just seeds?
He said, I'm not eating rice. I'm eating seeds. You're like, okay. But it's just this.
Yeah.
I think that's the gift in toddler land. If you choose to come back to God's creation and majesty and beauty of what he creates, is he gives you these little kids that are so dependent of you.
They're just little seeds.
They're just little seeds.
Yeah, yeah. Little rice.
That yeah. adore you more than anything else.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we've had some of our most breakthrough moments with understanding the love of the Father by looking at our kids
mm-hmm.
and how they see us, especially in toddler years. There's just, it's not tainted. They're just, you are their everything.
Yeah.
You are the happiest place, the safest place, and it's
the biggest meanie.
The biggest meanie, you doo-doo head, whatever it comes out of. But it's, you know, that I think if you can take the moment to kind of look back and
mm-hmm.
I guess see God in these little moments of his how spectacular he is in creation. That he gave you this little gift that's going to make you stop and literally smell the flower that is a weed on the side of the road mm-hmm. as you're walking that you wish we could just make it to the park.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's just a gift that they can bring. And you can choose to see it as a frustration. I'm guilty of that in those years. But, you know, looking back at having almost all teen kids, I will never get those moments back. Mm-hmm. They're not stopping to smell the flowers on the side of the road or the sidewalk or look at the ladybug quite like they used to. And
Probably the fuel for having a vision in those years is really the ability to step outside of your experience and with some kind of perspective, look at what your child's seeing, thinking, learning, experiencing, and see it like the father would look at us. Like, I can't imagine that we ever evolve past toddlerhood in comparison to our father's majesty. You know, mm-hmm. I just wonder what it must be like for him to have 8 billion toddlers. You know,
it's pretty messy.
Yeah, great perspective.
He has effectively created a playpen. You know, like, you guys stay right there. You guys just stay right there.
Every now and then they try and leave it and go to the moon. No. Mm-hmm. Yep. You're only so limited. You can't last out here for too long. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, I saw a couple at church yesterday, and they have a toddler, and they're like, wow, aha. You know, they just got that look in their eyes.
They do have that look in their eyes.
And, you know, it's just the – I think two things I'm thinking about as we're talking today is I was just reminding them about community. I think getting around other people to kind of link arms and say, all right, you okay? I'm okay. We're good. Mm-hmm. Keep going, you know.
Let's keep laughing.
Let's keep laughing.
Yeah.
Tell me your story again.
Yeah.
Show me that meme. But then it's just the awareness of – I think what we're talking about as well is – how do I embrace the season? Which is the perspective you're talking about is I don't want to miss any drip that the Lord has for me as I squeeze this sponge out in the season. There's just so much to enjoy. Mm-hmm. Just amongst all the pain and frustration and the me getting burned out, as Danny's describing, you know, it's just this, there's a new season coming pretty quick here. And as much of this one that I can get, I'm gonna grab all of it. Because I think that's something the Lord's been teaching me for many, many years. I just told a friend the other day, I feel like I'm doing it again. You know, I want to embrace this season and not miss where I'm at. Mm-hmm. So it's just the same thing as we turn a corner, just a new season that I don't want to miss what he has for me here.
Hey, Ben and Brittany Serple here.
So every parent from the beginning of time has discovered that kids don't come with a manual. Parenting is a learning journey from the beginning to the very end, and it's full of lessons, challenges, questions, mistakes, and lots of messes. One of the biggest reasons so many of us get scared, discouraged, and overwhelmed as parents is we think the goal of parenting is to be perfect parents who raise perfect children, which leads us to move towards a fear-driven strategy that focuses on avoiding messes and use control and punishment to change their behavior.
This is why we created the podcast Imperfect Parenting, to talk about the true goal of parenting, a safe, loving, heart-to-heart connection with our kids as we guide them on their own journey to becoming healthy, confident, and emotionally intelligent. Seth Dahl joins Ben and I to bring you the tools you need to be fully engaged in the journey of building a healthy, connected family culture where your children can thrive.
So, if you're a parent, join us for some laughter, relatable stories, solutions to those tough questions, and insights into the challenges we all face on this parenting journey.
You can listen by searching Imperfect Parenting on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. We'll see you there. Coming from this perspective, is we've been away from the toddler years for a long time. There are moments I remember that were hard that, mm-hmm. you know, as moms and dads talk about them, and I can empathize and be like, oh, yeah, sure, those were hard. But I don't actually, the first moments I think about with toddler, when I go back to the files of our kids being toddlers, I don't think about being miserable.
Mm-hmm.
I think about the things that made me laugh,
mm-hmm.
the things that make their little personalities come out, the things that I can still see in them today, you know, like Adeline. I mean, she was a really easy baby, and she was so quiet and just super chill. I mean, that was the joke
about
her.
She's saving it up.
She was so chill. Nothing. No chill, no attitude, no cry. She didn't even do anything as a baby. She was so easy. And then I think I have it on camera. Her and Delaney are in our bathroom, and there's a big mirrored closet doors. And she turned around and she starts shaking her little butt. And Lainey starts giggling. So she's shaking it even harder. And then she's making these funny things. And then she starts smacking her own booty. And Delaney is rolling. And from that point on, Adeline discovered how mm-hmm. much fun it was for her to make people laugh. Mm-hmm. And that is very much true
yep.
to today. That's all I can see when I think about these. Like, you, Ben just reminded me of, he said, do you remember that Christmas when Adeline woke up and she said, I don't feel good, and she threw up in your hand? I said, no, I don't remember that at all.
You cupped your hands and caught it?
I said, I have no memory of that. But that's the thing. It's like, yeah. I'm sure in that moment that was the last thing I wanted to do, but I did it, and here we are. I don't remember that. I can't even find that memory. And
it's the Lord protecting you.
Yeah, probably. But I just find all the good moments, and there was lots of hard moments, but I try and encourage parents to do just that, to go back and to look at it with a different perspective of, you're never going to get this season back. It is really hard, but can you have a vision for what you're creating after this and take one day at a time? And if you're successful in that, you had, you know, a day where you gave great choices all day long. Are you happy with that? Like, I think that you have to change the goal a little bit sometimes in defining what success is with toddlers. And that's part of that mirror analogy that you gave. I think we're searching for perfection. And if we don't change the goal short term, it's like little tiny goals. We need little tiny goals all along the way. Otherwise, we want to quit.
I was going to ask both of you or either of you, you've both written parenting books at this point. But thinking about the tools we implement and practice and talk about at Loving a Purpose, the parenting tools, how do you both see that interacts with vision? Meaning, as parents are learning this vision, like, okay, this is the perspective, this is why I keep going, how are the tools helping that?
I would say that, you know, all the tools that we've practiced, either from Loving Our Kids on Purpose or Imperfect Parenting, has been methods of directing behavior in the child, directing character in the child in a fashion that protects and strengthens the connection between you and the child in the process. Like, you could scare a child into submission easily, but fear casts out love, and you have to remember that what you've just done is you've entered the path of training your child to survive you. Yeah. And many parents, you know, grew up in a childhood where they just survived their parents and they got away as fast as they could. Yeah. And if you're not paying attention to your methods, then you're really not paying attention to the spirit at work in your relationship dynamic. Mm. So all of our tools and all of our training is to make sure that love is the coach and the counselor throughout this whole process, and that on the other side of the child learning through discipline, learning through curiosity, learning through failure, that there is a bond, that there is a precious bond that's meaningful to me, obviously, but it's equally meaningful to my child, so that they begin to make decisions to protect that, independent of my will and my coercion. I'm like, I can't coerce you into loving me. I can't intimidate you into loving me. I can't punish you into loving me. So I really have to have a tool set that begins to open up you learning to appreciate life when you're connected to me. Mm. And ultimately, this is the fear of the Lord. Mm. The fear of the Lord is my fear of being disconnected from the Lord, not my fear of being smoked by the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, connection is our greatest place of access to influence, and, you know, I'm still in parenting lands that where they're not all adults, but we do have one adult, which it just proves my theory for me, mm-hmm. like never before. Like, okay, this was all freaking worth it right here, because
payday.
Yeah, it totally feels like that. Is that our ability to have vision, to humble ourselves in the sea of being confronted with our own selfishness or faults, and finding something that I felt like could reflect the Father's heart and could help me not feel powerless to this little being. I think that's that my personality, feeling powerless is terrifying. I hate feeling powerless, and it brings out the worst in me. So finding something, a resource and a tool that helps me feel powerful, that helps me feel like I have purpose, that I can then implement in all these different seasons, that has changed, I think, so much of, you know, our raising of children. Yeah. is you know, and the great thing is, I think we just kind of get better at it, you know. We just get better at it as you keep practicing these tools. If you try it and then put it down and then try it again years and years later, you didn't make up any of those times in these years that you were supposed to be practicing. You put it down. And so I think that's the other big part for me, is that ability to be consistent, and see the fruit in that consistency. It's made a world of difference in our life, and it's fun to watch. I'm so proud of it. You know, I think that's the other piece of it. I'm just so proud of the strength of our yes, I would say, too. Even in those crazy toddler seasons where we were sleep deprived and we were exhausted, and you know, I remember flying to Australia with the girls, and I had this great plan of how they're going to all have matching pajamas, and then somebody had a diaper blowout and we weren't even on the plane, and I chucked the matching pajamas and I was like, forget this, you know, rewrite the plan.
Plan X.
You know, and even when it came to, we moved down to Sacramento and our whole lives got disrupted, and can we stay the course of not letting this disruption, and everyone's emotions are huge and everybody's scared. Can I just, okay, we still are who we said we are going to be, and we're still going that direction, even though there's more emotions lately than there was before. Like, I think just this ability to stay consistent, because of the little moments, I would say there was success. So I felt like we moved down just a little bit. We got a first down, you know, yeah. First down. And those, I would not overlook the first downs. A lot of people get frustrated that it's not a touchdown yet. I'm like, well, sometimes you just literally get a touchdown by first down, and you barely made it. And it makes, it's totally worth the investment, and it's worth being uncomfortable. There's a lot of uncomfortable in toddler. Looking at our 18-year-old, I'm like, she's practice child number one. So, I mean, we were the worst at that, and she's great. So
pancake number one.
You know, like, wow, look at her. She's doing great, and she's still learning, because that's what she does at 18. But it started way back with the choice we made it,
yeah,
in toddler land, and we stayed with that. And it's been fruitful.
Yeah, I was just thinking about the payday that Danny just mentioned with Delaney recently. You know, she found herself in a bit of a pickle, just needing some help, and she's in practice adulting now.
Totally.
And when she called us, it wasn't a very fun conversation for her, I'm sure. Like, you know, I'm gonna let my parents into my current world and where I'm at and some things I'm learning the hard way. And she said, I just want to be around you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Which, just when I draw a line back to the toddler years and the preteen and the teen, and you know, it's like it worked. It totally worked. This is payday, because we stayed the course, and there are so many days where we messed it up and did it wrong and wanted it to be done, because it's just, it requires an extra amount of sacrifice and humility, but so thankful. So for any parents out there going, really? Like, really though? Yeah, really.
Yeah.
We should answer some questions that I get all the time since you're on here. I would love to have some of these parenting questions just answered before you swoop away to the next episode. But toddler,
I'm always on here. I don't know what to
I just mean we're going to transition to the next topic. And toddlers, this is one that happens all the time with toddlers, is that you get a toddler. Our friend said it last night. He said, she's our biter and our hitter. He said, as soon as something happens to her, she has nothing but a gut reaction to punch you. And I was just laughing because I know the parents. So it was making me giggle. Mm-hmm. But you've got a toddler that's biting or hitting all the time. Mm-hmm. What do you do? Because they're getting kicked out of daycare. That, not that ever happened in my life, but, you know.
Yeah. Well, there's so much about a child's expression of their emotions behaviorally that are no fun. Mm-hmm. It's just no fun. So you just, you know, we'll pick up a love and logic tool from, you know, the 90s or the 80s or whenever that started, and back in the 1900s, you know, and it still works today, which is, you know, you begin to implement no fun. Mm-hmm. Oh, honey, no fun. And so when you start classifying behaviors as, you know, kind of a gradient of severity where it's, ooh, that's a 10. Wow. We're going to, and then, okay, those are two. Then you're over responding in a moment. And that child eventually begins to realize, this is power right here. Mm. I can make you crazy with this one right here. You are so scared of this behavior. And that child will just play on that end of the piano just to get you to feel powerless, you know, just to win the power struggle, because so much of this is power struggle. Mm-hmm. So if you can just, like, keep it even and go, oh, that's no fun. Oh, that's no fun. As much as coming out of your room after I put you to bed is no fun, biting is no fun. Mm-hmm. Touching somebody's pee-pee is no fun. Oh, honey, that's no fun. Oh, that's no fun. That's no. I'm just shaping you with, no more of that, please. Mm-hmm. Let's do this. You know. And if we continue, then, well, you know, no fun chair, no fun room, no fun wherever you end up. But no fun leads to a decision. Are you going to continue in this path, or are you going to control yourself? And if you don't control yourself, I'm going to put you in this spot and let you think it over. Mm-hmm. And then I'll come and ask you, you want to be fun, mm-hmm. or you want some more time in your spot? Mm-hmm. And you're going to use the heck out of that for years. You're
yes,
going to use
you
that.
Are.
You're going to use no fun, baby. Mm-hmm. Fun, chair, fun, room, chair, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like that you talk about not having levels.
A gradient, yeah.
Yeah.
Me too.
Because I don't know that I would have said it like that, but I feel like we operated like that. It was just all of it is no fun. You know, mm-hmm. maybe my tone is guilty of going, okay, that's no fun, you know.
But, that's a 10, no fun.
Yeah. But I think we had the same response, the same tool, no fun. I was just talking to a friend of mine. She asked me this question because her kid's hitting, but she said, what's the difference between timeout and fun or room? And for me, the difference was, you know, if I stick you in a chair for 5 minutes, I've not actually taught you the process of you going to work on figuring out if you are going to manage yourself or not. I've just set a time and you're doing your time. Doing your time. And when you get up, you know, some parents, I know that there's usually a lecture portion at the mm-hmm. end of that 5 minutes, but I'm not actually, I don't have the power to communicate. Like, I don't believe you. I gave you a set amount of time and now you get up and you go and do exactly what you just did before, and we're back in this spot. So we just talked through, you know, the time out model is I'm not actually teaching them the process that I want them to walk through, which is the ownership of why you're here to begin with. Mm-hmm. There was something that happened that was no fun, and you can rejoin us when you're fun again.
Yeah,
but that's yours to walk through.
And the time out illusion is I just need you to calm down. Mm. Like, no. I need you to solve the problem that led to your ramp up.
Yeah.
Because when you calm down, you still have the same problem.
Yeah.
You know, you bit Billy because why?
Right.
You know, everybody's quit crying now. That doesn't mean we fixed this problem. You did any work at all on why you bite people when you get upset. Totally. You know, like, let's figure that one out.
Yeah.
So the timeout isn't any more effective than a 10-year jail sentence. Hmm. You get out does not mean you fix the problem that led to your incarceration.
Yeah. Usually you're just thinking about what you're going to do.
You've now been in criminal school. Well, you've been, you're better at it now.
How do I hide it better?
Yeah.
Yeah,
as you describe in even the gradient, that was a great point that I think both of us sitting here going, no, it's a good one.
We didn't think of it like that.
But the part of that also feels like it's the parent's practice of self-control, especially in front of the child. So it's no fun if you come out of your room at bedtime, and it's no fun if you bite someone.
Yeah.
It's not a gradient, but there's a self-control practice that I'm actually training my child in, that they're learning to actually manage their emotions and control themselves no matter the scenario, which I think is such an important piece. First for parents, because we're often the first one to train in that culture. Mm-hmm. Like, we fly off the handle, we cannot control ourselves depending on the level or gradient of sin committed.
Yeah, and the crazy thing is that their behavior triggers our upset.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then we behave
exactly
like a toddler.
Yeah.
Without the biting.
To the toddler.
We might bite him. We don't know. You know. I've seen parents bite their children. You like that, huh? You want me to bite you? You're like, okay, this is ridiculous. Yeah. You've now it's the battle of the toddlers. You know, you're like, okay, stop it. And what happens is when, as toddlers, as children, really, there is no training to leave childishness behind in my soul, in my emotions. So I never learn to turn my emotions into words. They stay trapped in behavior. So I keep behaving my feelings all the way until I'm 50. I'm kicking doors in. I'm screeching out of the driveway. I'm throwing a cup across the room. I'm 50. And I'm still behaving my emotions, my upset. Because no one started training me back here on how to identify what I'm feeling, communicate what I'm feeling, and figure out what I need to feel in replace of that, and figure out a way to do that in a healthy exchange of relationship and communication. Yeah. So that's really what you're helping your toddler learn, is learn to manage yourself, transform those behaviors into words, eventually identify what you need, and learn how to surround yourself with people who care about what you need.
I love when I'm coaching parents on our coaching calls and they're talking about a behavior of their child. You know, usually it's toddler to early adolescence, and they're like, you know, I think that one's fine. I think she'll grow out of it. And I love to pause them right there. I say, okay, well, let me just challenge this for a second. And they're like, okay. I said, let's fast forward, add 10 years. Do you still want that happening? And they go, oh, no. Oh, no, no. Oh, my gosh, that would be awful, you know. And I go, okay, so this is the moment where you're teaching them how to adjust their behavior, how to communicate what they need, or you're communicating that this culture in your family, we don't do this. So a lot of times parents are that willingness to just lay that one down because they're tired. I just hit the fast forward button. And you tell me, do you want to deal with this when they're 13?
That's good.
Do you want to deal with this when they're 16? Because if you don't look at it right here, if you don't teach and guide them right here in these toddler years, even though it's just one more thing to do, I didn't say you had to do it today. It's just on the list of things we're working towards. It will still manifest itself. And then it's just so much bigger. And so
bigger
much
and harder. Hairier.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And usually it's tied to connection and different pieces like that. And so I'm always trying to, like, okay, you don't want to talk about this one, but you might you might be coming back to me in a few years. And so it's, I call it the fast forward. Can we fast forward just 10 years? Tell me what you think. So that was good.
That's great. So helpful. I think parents, you have it in there. It does take practice.
Mm-hmm.
It is reps, which I've probably heard too many times to count. Mm. Just keep practicing. I wouldn't say who at this table has said that to me many times, but well,
I tell you that all Gandalf. The time.
Yeah. Okay. Call me Jim.
But it really is. I mean, that's, you know, my success coming into this family. You know, Danny started when Brittany was 8. Mm-hmm. Let me get the story close. You know, so that this Silk family had some preparation and practice, and I jumped in going, okay, well, what are we doing here? We have a baby now. We have a toddler now. We have a preteen now, you know. And so just the practice over and over again has proven to work and stuck. So first of all, thank you to this table. But then also I think the parents out there, just keep going. Mm-hmm. It's and find the community of people that are going in the same direction. Mm-hmm. That will push you back in the game. Like I'm tired too. It's hard. I get it. Get back in the game.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be happy you did.
Yeah. Well, great episode on the toddler portion.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully all of our Kyla Show listeners with toddlers feel a little bit more relieved and hopeful that, you know, it's going to be okay. Here's some great tools. And really, what we're chasing after is that whole healthy families are going to save the world. And it starts with that, you know, little toddlerhood. I mean, this is just the beginning of making a whole and healthy family, and it requires mom and dad to lean in. So we believe in you. We're for you. Thanks so much for listening, and we will see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Never miss an episode of The Kylo Show by subscribing to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or watch us on the Loving on Purpose YouTube channel. Don't forget to submit your questions and testimonies to thekyloshow.com. The Kylo Show is produced by Ali Armading, co-produced by Ashley Beck and Anna Hill, sound engineered and edited by Taylor Silk, and show promoter Christian Zamora. Don't forget, whole healthy families, gonna save the world.